In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today, my beloved, we have the celebration of St. John, the forerunner of Christ and baptizer of people, including even the Lord himself, because he approached him to be baptized. So he had a wonderful beginning in the life, and the Holy Spirit had obviously came in to him while he was still a little baby inside of the womb of the mother. For when the mother of God, the future mother of God, came in to visit Elizabeth, and she was expecting Saint John. And when Theotokos approached her and gave her greetings, all of a sudden the little baby inside the womb jumped in joy, and the mother, of course, felt it, that he was overjoyed of greeting the future mother of God and the Lord that is inside of her womb, my beloved. But then, of course, trouble started. When the Lord was born, then the Herod ordered that all of the little babies from 2 years on and down to newborns, that they should be killed. And they were after everybody that was in that area. And they were after also the little baby John, whose mother also gave her birth. And of course, Zacharias, the father, did not reveal where the mother was with the child, because he didn't know. He was at that time serving in the church. It was in his term. And what happened is that when they started, the soldiers started to chase after the mother with the holding the little baby, and they got her trapped by a mountain, and mountain opened up and let her inside, and she was able to be inside with the little baby, and she had of course the water, had the Lord send them water, and also the fig tree that would be coming down, bending down their branches so that she could feed herself. But then after 40 days, then the Lord had taken the mother, and the baby was left totally alone. Of course, the angels came immediately to rescue, and the angels were feeding him and taking care of him. And later on, and they brought him into the desert, and in the desert he lived as an angel. He lived with so little of food that the only times he would sometimes he would have acrides, like locust or something like that, and wild honey. And he was in the desert glorifying in the Lord and being in converse with the angels. And then the Lord had told him, now it's time for you to go and preach about the coming of the Messiah and prepare the people for his coming and get them to repent of their sins and clean them up through baptism in Jordan River. And that's what he did. He started to preach that the Lord is coming, the Messiah is coming, and repent of all your sins. And he had people coming to him from all walks of life, and they would confess their sins, and he would baptize them in a river, on Jordan River. And then when they would ask, what do we do, plain persons, and he said, well, you have two clothes, give one of the clothes to those who do not have it. If you have extra food or anything, share it with others. And then somebody that was a tax collector, would come and ask, what do we do? And he says, well, don't do anything more than you've been asked, because they used to take not only for the governor, but they put some in their own pocket. They would ask for extra ones, extra things. And so St. John forbid them to do that, of course. And the soldiers came, what do we do? I said, don't hurt anybody. Be kind and do not grumble about your wages, that you may not have enough wages. Just accept whatever you're giving. And this is the kind of advices he was giving. Of course, he was giving it at that time to the people there before the Lord came. Of course, these advices we should still continue to hold on. We should try to, if we find somebody that needs something that we have an extra, to give it to them. Or even if we don't have an extra, give it to them what we have. And this is a wonderful way to live. As we're giving it, when we're helping others, we're helping the Lord, as the Lord will say at the last judgment, because that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to love. He wants us to love him and to love all our neighbors. And St. John, of course, he was not fearful of anybody except for the Lord. He loved the Lord, and there was a healthy fear of not to offend the Lord, because he loved him so much. And he preached the truth. And when he found out that Herod had taken away the wife from his brother and married her, he had told him that he had done a terrible thing, and that's it's unlawful, and he cannot do that. And of course, Herod, even though he listened to a lot of things, but the Herodiada, his newly illegal wife, she couldn't stand then St. John, the prophet and forerunner, and she wanted his death. She wanted him to stop saying that to the people. And finally, she put enough pressure on Herod that he put St. John, into the dungeon and kept them for quite a while. And of course, he had preached to his disciples that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And before he was put into jail, the Lord came to him and asked also for a baptism. And of course, he was totally shocked. He couldn't see why would the Lord, the creator of everything, purest, without having any sin whatsoever, why he would ask to be baptized. And what he said, no, Lord, you have to baptize me. I have to be baptized by you, and not this way. But the Lord says, no, you do what you're told, but don't ask any questions, because he was asking everybody who would come for the baptism to confess their sins. And the Lord says, well, don't ask anything, just baptize me. And St. John had saw a Holy Spirit come down on the Lord in the form of a dove, and they heard the voice of God the Father saying that this is my beloved Son. And he knew that this was the Messiah, without any doubt, and with the trembling and with great love in his heart, he had put his hand on the head of the Lord. But why did the Lord do that? He didn't need to be baptized to cleanse for any sins, but he did it for us. He did it for us because we need to be cleansed for the sins. And he took all of sins, my sins, your sins, everybody's sins, upon himself at that moment. And he had washed our sins in that baptism by St. John, and gave us also an example of what we should do, and gave us the mystery of baptism. And as you know, to enter into the church, we have to be baptized. To enter into the church, we have to be baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And my beloved, So what happened to St. John after being in dungeon and telling the disciples to follow the Lord? And of course, one of the disciples was St. Andrew, future the first called apostle. He was a disciple of St. John, and he went, and when he had met the Lord, he called his brother and told him about it. And finally, the Lord had gathered 12 disciples, and of course one of them was a traitor. But what happened to St. John in a dungeon? Well, one day there was a big celebration. Herod made celebration for his birthday, and there was a big party, and the daughter of his brother, the wife who he had taken illegally, she was dancing in such a way that she had pleased everybody, him and all those people, probably some of the passionate, terrible dances that stirs up the men's passions. And after they finished with the dancing, Herod said to me, "You pleased him so much that you ask me anything you want, even up to half a kingdom, I'll give it to you." And said it was in front of everybody. But she didn't know what to ask. She went to her mother. And the mother immediately said, "Oh, ask him to give you St. John's head right there on the platter." And she went back to the hall where the celebration was and told Herod to give her the head of St. John, who was in the dungeon. But Herod was actually saddened. He didn't really want to do it. But because he gave his word to the woman, he said, then send somebody to chop off his head. And St. John's head was chopped off and put in a platter and given to the damsel. And the girl took the head and walked into the big hall where the celebration was. And as she walked in with the head, all of a sudden St. John spoke again and told that the Herod did a terrible sin, and it's quite unlawful that he should have the wife of his brother. And everybody was totally shocked, and all their celebration stopped, because it's not a usual thing to see a chopped off head that all of a sudden starts to talk. And of course the party stopped, and then the girl took the head to the mother and told her what happened, that St. John spoke. And then she, with a hatred, she took a big needle and several times stabbed St. John in his tongue, and to try to keep him from saying something, and then took the head and threw it in a terrible place so nobody will have it. And of course, later on in the future, you know that the head was uncovered. The Lord had protected him, and it was in the many miracles were being done through the head of St. John. And so many churches were built later on, and so much so many people had been helped. And remember what the Lord said, that there is no one greater than him that was born of a woman. And of course, he didn't speak about himself or about the Mother of God. But St. John has been placed on the left side of the Lord in the kingdom of heaven, while the Mother of God is on the right side. This is where we see depicted on the icon, on the icons. And because one time the two brothers and the apostles were asking the Lord whether they could be sitting on the right and the left side of the Lord, and the Lord says, "No, First, he said, "Can you drink my chalice?" And they said, "Yes." And he said, "But it's not up to me to give you that honor. That has been prepared by my Father before, and that was prepared for the Mother of God and Saint John, because he was the greatest of the prophets." And he was so happy when he knew that the speculator, or whatever you call him, the one that chops heads off, and he came in to chop his head off, he was so happy that it's going to happen, that he will be able, his soul will be released from the body, and he can go to hell or Hades, whatever you call it, and say to everybody that the Messiah has come, that he is here on earth, and very shortly he is going to free everybody. And my beloved, many miracles St. John has done, and I urge you very much, and myself and all of us, to cry out to him to help us to have the true repentance in our hearts, so that we will be able to get rid of all those things that are no good, and to start to live according to the gospel. And he will listen to us, because he has the love, and he will give us the strength and help us to repent of our sins and bring the true repentance, and to change our lifestyle, change whatever is not pleasing to the Lord. Because we must want to try to please the Lord, because the Lord is our creator, our sustainer of our life, and it has suffered for us so much. And everybody that is saved only because of the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he took upon himself all our negative things, all our sins. He took upon ourselves and died for us, to free us. But we need to believe in him. And so the Lord says, if you believe in him, then he will save you. And then the first thing is for us to do is to truly to believe, and don't entangle up yourself with all the things of the world and lose sight of the Lord. The Lord is everywhere present and fills all things, and he loves us, and he wants us to be making it, to be together, to bring us into the heavens, so that we can meet Saint John and the Baptist, the one that baptized many people, and even the Lord himself, and the angels, and of course the Mother of God, and all our saints whom we love, and whose lives we are aware about, and whom we have come to through their lives, we've come to love them, and we'll all be able to be together with them. And this is the great wonderful thing that all of us should really strive for, to be able to get to the kingdom of heaven and to rejoice with everybody there forever and ever. There will be no squabbles, no battles, no angers, none of those things that we experience here on earth. There will be peace and joy and love and glorification of God, and thanking and full of joy that will be for eternity. Amen.